This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Thursday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here with us, as many of you are every single day. For the entire show, I'm Woodsy, that's Paul Reindel, that's Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
I'm here with you every day for the entire show.
Am
I, you talking about me?
You too.
Yeah,
you too. I saw this today, and I thought it was the first I've heard of it, but Paulie has let us know that he did, in fact, let us know that there is a, our buddy Kyle from Vista tweeted, at Ben and Woods, is send a voice message new? Should everyone say taint to test it? And I guess if you're listening on the app, the Odyssey app, there's a button that says listen live, which you can do. And then there's a little microphone that says send a voice message. Now, I don't know how to feel about that really, but I guess another way for the fans to interact with their favorite shows. Great. Now we have the YouTube feed as well. We're streaming on Twitch. Paulie, is Kick a thing? Is that some place where people stream?
Yeah.
Kick? I saw somebody made like $200 million streaming on Kick, so I'd like to be get some of that Kick
money. I don't know exactly
how to do it,
but I believe Kick is where a lot of streamers have gone after they've been booted from YouTube or Twitch. They've
okay.
been kicked off.
Ah.
So I don't think we've given any reason to be forced to use Kick yet?
Well, wait for the Christmas and holiday extravaganza that's coming. The ideas I have for December 20th, start getting that in your head and putting that on your calendar to maybe take the day off and watch that whole thing on YouTube. You're going to want to do that.
Then Friday, December 20th.
We may be kicked off of YouTube after that.
So essentially leave a voicemail.
Like a voicemail.
Which
to our
no
show.
One ever does anymore.
Right.
You just text.
We had the Ben and Woods hotline that we did for a while.
Yeah.
And then we stopped checking it.
Because no one checks their voicemail.
It's true.
Anymore.
Ever. But this one, on the Odyssey app, you can send us a voice message. So if you're inclined to do that and you're listening right now, you can do that. Paulie, you don't get a notification?
I don't. I can go in and check.
How many do we have in there right now?
We got a handful.
A handful. Okay.
Now,
have they been screened?
I have to screen them. So if we are going to be soliciting these, keep them clean. Make it my life easier.
Yeah, because anytime you curse, then Paulie has to edit it out with beeps.
Download it, edit it.
You can't
just play it straight
right
on
the
air.
Play what you have.
We do have a couple here. This is actually from a week ago.
A week ago.
Ben, you're an ass.
That's my only excuse.
Okay.
I was like, you could hear me on the radio.
You made him so mad.
He just instantly had to
send the voice.
I have no idea why.
I'd like to hear that again.
That.
Ben, you're an ass.
And there's no name associated with it?
This one does have a name.
Who is it?
This is from Herman.
Herman.
Thanks, Herm. Now, I assume, as I usually do.
One more time, Paulie.
It's my only excuse.
Oh. One more time.
Ben, you're an ass.
It's my only excuse.
That's my only excuse.
I'm assuming that, as many people do, they confuse our voices on the air, and he really...
You were literally talking. You were literally talking.
He really meant you.
Literally.
Well, you had probably just said
Ben,
something, and I was responding
ass.
To it.
It does happen.
He meant you.
We did get one from Kyle this morning. I'm assuming that was the same Kyle.
Yeah.
Wait. Doing an Adam?
He's doing his Adam.
Taint.
Pretty good at him, actually.
Rod is in our YouTube chat right now, and he just left us one a few minutes ago.
Yo, this is Rod from the chat. Love 97.3 The Fan. Shout out to Adam Klug. Roll Tide.
Oh, there you go. Talking a little smack.
Very clear, though. Crystal clear.
Crystal clear.
Way better than, you know, our usual call-ins, which, you know, we have the worst cell phone service
on the planet.
America trying to call into this radio station in particular.
Thank you, Rod.
To the show, bitch.
All right, there's one. Okay.
So, yeah, where do we send messages, Roastmaster? You download the Odyssey app,
yep.
And then when you're listening live to 97.3 The Fan, you click on the little microphone, and you record. Can you, like, re-record if you don't like it, or does you just everything gets sent?
You can hear it back and then click submit.
Okay, so that's how you submit voicemail messages.
Taint. Oh, whispered taint. I don't even have the Odyssey app downloaded.
Ben, you're an ass.
I like that.
I think we already heard that.
We need to keep that in the in the rotation. All right. So yeah, the Odyssey app, you can go and use that feature. I like that.
Why don't we just record our next segment
into that?
Send it to Pauly, and then we can take a few minutes off during the show.
Well, I mean, we could just do that anyway. What is happening here with this app? All right, here we go. 97.3 The Fan.
Are you downloading an app on the air?
Yeah, our Odyssey app.
A new,
here it is. Send a
new
voice
radio
message.
High point here for us.
According to
how do you not see how it already works. Have it?
I can leave up to a minute of voicemail here. Suck it, Ben.
How quickly do you think it gets turned around and sent to Paula?
Put in my location. It's not worth frozen. Cool. All right, well, tried. See, it's frozen. It's not letting me put my city and state in.
We'll get the engineering team on that.
Oh, here we go.
But while you're doing that, it was at this time yesterday that Sammy Levitt gave us a revelation that I think floored many people here in San Diego. And that was the fact that his parents shipped him off to summer camp every single year. And I go, okay, fine. Well, you go for like a week? And he goes, no. No, it was 8 weeks. It was 2 months. I'd leave like 2 or 3 days after school ended, and then I'd come back and I'd have, you know, a week, and it would be time to go back to school. The entire summer, he was shipped off to summer camp. Now, you grew up on the East Coast, at least partially.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get sent off to summer camp the way Sam Levitt was?
No.
You did not?
No, I went to baseball camp for a week in Massachusetts.
Sleepaway baseball camp
for a week after freshman year. And that was like a privilege. Like, hey, you know, I want to get better, Dad. And, all right, let's find a camp. Me and my best friend Adam went to a baseball camp. Came back. It was great. Like, it was awesome. It was a week. It was a lot. It was a lot for a, you know, how old are you going into your sophomore year?
A minute.
15? A voicemail here.
Yeah.
Suck it, Ben. There you go.
All right. It turns around pretty quickly.
It does. That's really good.
And that was from Steven in Encinitas.
And very clear.
Shout out to Steven in Encinitas. Tier one.
Did you make friends like that you kept in touch with?
Not really, but no. Friends that week and stuff. Yeah. And you learn and you played against some good competition. And that was great. It was a week, though, but it was a lot. Like, you're 15-ish and you're away for the first time.
Sammy said that they sent kids as young as...
He said he started going when he was like 11,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but there was like kids younger, like 9, that would go and be gone all summer from their family.
Like 7, 8, 9 years old, yeah.
And when you told me that, I thought, ooh. And your initial thought as a parent is, oh, yeah. Then I thought I couldn't do it.
Because we said yesterday, don't let Woods know about this.
No, I couldn't do it.
Just have the whole summer to yourselves. Live the high life.
There is absolutely no chance I could send my kids away for 8 weeks. None. None whatsoever. Right? There's no way.
You're the one who's threatened them with military school multiple times.
But that's just a threat. Those are just threats. Oh, them just jokes. There's no way. I couldn't do it. 8 weeks. Not at this age, man. I mean, obviously, they're 6 and 4. You'd be the worst parent of all time.
True.
All right. See you guys in 2 months. Like, shape their whole lives as serial killers. Why are you a serial killer? My dad literally sent me away when I was 6 for 2 months. All right, I get it. You're in probation. Like, I totally would get it. But there is no chance at this age I could leave either of them for 8 weeks. None. None. And I'm trying to, you know, obviously you can't prognosticate what ages, you know, Bo will be 13 and Taylor will be 11. Might start to think about maybe a little bit of a summer camp scenario at that point, maybe that age, but I don't know, man. That seems like a long time. Did Sammy like it, or did he hate it, or what?
He seemed to like it.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, visiting day every summer where his parents could come and see him for the one day.
One.
I said, you know, Sam, this sounds a lot like prison, not camp. That you're basically trapped somewhere for 2 months, and there's one visiting day. There's, like, phone limits. Like, you could go to the phone, you get, like, 10 minutes max, yeah. And then you'd have to hang up, and someone else would get a turn. I don't know. It sounded horrible to me.
It does. And really, the things that, you know, your greatest fear as a parent, you could get realized at camp. And you all know what I'm talking about. So, no, I will not be sending my kids away for any sleepover camps. I just had this conversation with Anna. Apparently, there's something here that's part of the curriculum that you have to do.
Yeah, sixth grade camp.
And I told her, absolutely
not. I did it.
You did it.
Yeah, I did it. My kids did it.
I did it.
You did it.
Up in Washington, we had sixth grade camp, yeah.
Did you like
it? Was it? Like in October.
No.
It was a full week. Monday through Friday, you were gone at camp. With
part of school.
I mean, there were moments I enjoyed.
It was not summer
camp. But it was the first time I had ever really been away from my family.
Did you cry?
Yeah, absolutely.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
How old? Sixth grade?
Sixth grade, yeah. So like 12.
You cried.
I was on the younger side for sixth grade.
You didn't let anybody see you cry, though.
No. I cried like
in
before. Like, and yeah, secretly. But yeah, I was the first night was horrible. Like, I got this whole week to get through. I hated the food.
Oh,
you know,
the showering scenario.
Yeah. Oh, it was
gnarly.
Like a. Yeah, it was.
I went to church camp, so
it was
there
was no stalls or curtains or anything. It was just
wieners,
you know,
everywhere.
Just walk into the shower, and you know, at that age, everyone's kind of at a different point of development, so it's, you know, very self conscious.
Yeah, there was a kid in our school, redhead kid, bright red hair. Name was Anthony. And I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he lived near a nuclear reactor, because there was something when he walked into the shower, you said, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, that was that.
Is he related to Arnold Palmer, possibly?
Just thinking about that, dude. No, it was not our pal Anthony the Butcher. It was Anthony the Redhead. And I'm, guys, when I say, like, hey, look, like, God. Like, you walked in and you're like, ah, this sucks. This is going to be a long summer for me. So, I was at church camp. I only did it one time. And I remember having to walk in flip-flops, Ben, through the dirt to get to the shower that was, but it was like one shower. So there'd be a line of like 15 people, and you're in the shower like,
it's like wearing a towel.
Yeah, wearing a towel. You get out and you walk back all wet and cold. It was terrible, dude. It was terrible.
Was it like an outdoor shower?
Yes, it was outdoors. Yes, you're exactly right.
It's miserable.
It was terrible, dude. It was terrible. Sixth grade camp. Yeah, Hannah was telling me all about it.
And I think the food for me was the hardest part, because I was a picky eater, and, you know, it's scrambled eggs for breakfast. I don't like scrambled eggs.
What did you want?
Cereal? Cereal. I just wanted cereal.
I love this. Camp is a fascinating thing.
We've got some Padres news here before we go to break.
Okay.
A little bit of Padres
news. Want to tease it, or do you want to?
It's
not teasable.
I don't know if it's teasable. So it's we're on the brink of awards season. The MLB awards, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, Cy Young, those all come out like the second or third week of November, usually over the course of an entire week. 4 o'clock p.m. on MLB Network or whatever. But other publications and organizations have their own awards as well. So while this may not be the MLB Network big announcement coming up in a few weeks, the Sporting News has put out their Rookie of the Year, and the National League Rookie of the Year goes to...
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Jackson Merrill.
That's badass.
I'm sorry, Woods, that your favorite Paul Skeens...
Oh, I'm happy.
I love not Paul, the Sporting
I love
News.
Paul Skeens. I love Paul
Rookie
Skeens.
Rookie of the Year award.
I love Paul Skeens. But I've always said Jackson Merrill should be the Rookie of the Year. He plays every day. Plays every day.
You, just quickly, you know, Paul Skeens, you looked at his numbers, which were really good for a pitcher. Compare them, though, for what Fernando Valenzuela did when he won Rookie of the Year as a pitcher and the Cy Young. Now, that's the kind of pitcher who
wins
Rookie of the Year.
Over a,
you know,
yeah, over a everyday
position
player.
Started all season long, complete games, 8 shutouts, all-star, did everything, you know, all season long for his team. Yeah, I would absolutely consider a pitcher like that for a Rookie of the Year award. Guy who comes up in May and is on, you know, kind of an innings limit, and they're being careful with. to me, you can't give that over a full-time position player who played 159 games or whatever it was that Jackson Merrill did at the level he did, the clutchness that he provided for the San Diego Padres. I don't think it's that close. The only thing that Paul Skenes has is the hype factor, you know, that accompanied his debut.
Well, I mean, look, I think the hype was warranted. He was really, really good.
He still is
good, man. But I love that for Jackson Merrill. It's a nice little award to hang on. It's like the UT's best of, right? That's their version. Right?
We've won that, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's I think the big awards are the Baseball Writers Association of America awards.
The BBWs.
Yeah. AAs.
Like, you know, that's like the Marconi. We haven't won that one yet.
Yeah. Turns out your boss has to be very active in submitting things and working around the clock to get that done. And, well, it's not going to happen. So
Adam, I'll make a graphic for us if we win.
Yeah, hey, Paulie, are you on the Sporting News Rookie of the Year graphic for Jackson Merrill? Have you gotten the text yet?
I did not make one for...
All right, it's coming.
Maybe we just repost the Padres.
Yeah, we just can hit here. I'll do it from the fan account right now, Adam. We'll just retweet it and say congratulations to Jackson Merrill, the Sporting News Rookie of the Year. That's well done for him. Very happy for him.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. You have always accused me of over... San Diego-ifying everything.
Yes.
So I thought, you know what?
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to lean into it.
Hey, that guy's from San Diego. Wow.
I want to see how...
See what this guy did? He's heard of San Diego.
I want to see how random I can get in my San Diego sports connections. Because I have a good one from yesterday that I came across. It involves one of your absolute NBA favorites.
Okay.
In this San Diego random connection story. That I'm going to throw in.
I love it.
Coming up next, after a check traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I saw you tweeting some shade the other day.
Me?
Yeah, at our local newspaper.
Me?
Writing stories that connect other teams with San Diego athletes and try to localize... You know, a professional sports league in which we don't have a team. We don't have an NFL team anymore.
That doesn't sound like me even a little bit.
You know, you see them writing about all the Detroit Lions players who are from San Diego, or Fred Warner of the 49ers.
That doesn't sound like
native San Diegan.
I support everyone.
Got the New Orleans Saints receiving core, battered receiving core, Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave, both went to high school here in San Diego. We do that. I do that a lot, too. I will admit that I am guilty of occasionally San Diego-ifying the sports world at large.
For example, just the one, and I think maybe I was on Ambien or something. I don't remember. This doesn't sound. Does that sound like my character?
Not really.
Not really.
You're usually all about making peace and
positivity.
Just staying in your own lane.
Your point.
Wait, hold on. It's, sports is my lane.
It's not
technically.
You're not wrong.
Can I read it first?
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes may deprive San Diego's Fred Warner of another Super Bowl ring. Are you effing kidding? Like if I tweeted it, mock me. I deserve the mockery. I don't mind being mocked.
So you're not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong. That's insane behavior.
That we do this probably too much, and it is a bit of a small town sort of mentality.
Now, I will say this. If it's a bit to rile people up, it's genius. Andy Kaufman.
I would also say at the other end, there's nothing wrong with promoting and praising, you know, people who are from our community that are going out and doing good things in other places.
Okay,
there's nothing wrong with that as well.
Then say, here is a nice piece on San Diego's Fred Warner, who's having a great season with the 49ers. Right? There's a way to do it and a way not to.
Right.
It doesn't make you look, you know, desperate or weird. It's weird to do that, I think.
Well, I am really good at it. I'll just say that.
I've said that about you since
I've had to do this
you.
For a while on television, I am good at San Diego-ifying stories. So I thought, well, let me just lean into it and see how far I can go with this particular bit. And I saw one yesterday that I thought you would appreciate in particular. It involves someone that I know you enjoy from the basketball world. Pat Riley.
Oh, I love Pat Riley. Slick.
Longtime coach and executive with the Miami Heat. And they surprised him. They actually surprised him by renaming the court in Miami, Pat Riley Court, to honor his 30 years with the organization as both coach, president of basketball operations, you know, really changing the fortunes of that organization.
I'd say he's worthy of that.
100%.
Absolutely. He didn't want it, but the owner, Mickey Arison, said, no, you're getting it. You're just going to have to sit through it and do it. So they did it yesterday on the season opener for Pat Riley, had a big ceremony where they renamed the court Pat Riley Court. And then he had to take the microphone and give his speech and thank all the players that he has coached. He's well over almost 200 different players that he has coached in his career, obviously as an executive, bringing all the different players in, the other coaches he's worked with. Eric Spoelstra, you know, who's under him and has taken over as the coach and brought even more success for the team. But for the most part, he focused on, and I thought this was very sweet, his wife, Chris, and he is just devoted, loves his wife, Chris Riley, so much, and told the story about his wife. He said, I want to get this one right. It was a summer night on a crowded mezzanine. I saw perfect, the most beautiful woman ever, her flowered summer dress swaying softly as she walked towards me. Saw those hazel eyes.
At the thing?
In his speech,
at
yeah.
On
the court.
Wow.
Saw those hazel eyes, and my heart leapt. I went for her like Udonis Haslam is going to go for a loose ball on that court.
That's weird.
Right there. And he said many nice things about his wife, Chris, which I thought was very sweet.
My wife would have said, did you just compare me to a loose ball?
And you know where that mezzanine was located, where Pat Riley met his wife, Chris? That's right.
Where was it, Ben?
It was right here in San Diego, California. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a San Diego sports story for you right there involving Pat Riley, his wife, and the Miami Heat.
If that's not front page of the Union Tribune tomorrow,
should be.
Then I don't know
where
it should be.
Where was what? Story?
Where was the meeting?
He just said on a mezzanine in San Diego. He didn't specifically identify which mezzanine.
SeaWorld.
San Diego. Where do we have good mezzanines?
Where's
here?
The best mezzanine? Let's put out a poll. I like mezzanines out there. You guys like mezzanines out there? What a weird word.
It was an odd use of the word. Just a summer night on a crowded mezzanine in San Diego, and I saw perfect. What a sweet man. For a guy who doesn't, I mean, is, you know, you see his depiction in Winning Time that, you know, seems like this train wreck half the time of intensity and just boiling just emotions all the time. What a sweet man Pat Riley seems to be.
Balsamic Vinny says, North Park Gold Mezzanine.
They do. I don't know that it was around when he met Chris Riley, but
the mezzanine at North Park Beer is where he met Chris Riley.
What technically is a mezzanine? I feel like it's like a second level balcony that overlooks kind of like over, a first level somewhere.
Shore
but
Club,
it's
maybe.
Not outside, it's inside. Is that
PB Shore Club?
Is that a mezzanine?
Do they have a mezzanine? I always thought that was just a deck.
If it's outside, it's a deck. But if it's inside, is it a mezzanine?
No, I thought mezzanines were outside.
I need a definition.
Nobody says, I had my wedding reception on that mezzanine. Is it a balcony?
What is a mezzanine?
It means middle in Italian.
It's an intermediate floor or floors in a building that's open to the floor before. Usually placed halfway up the wall on a floor with a ceiling at least twice as high as a standard floor.
That's the most confusing.
Well, that clears everything up.
That's the most confusing definition of a word I've ever heard.
Thanks, AI, for that confusing definition.
I need somebody to paint me a picture of what a mezzanine is because the words aren't doing it for me. Yeah, that's a real stretch, Ben.
We've got Smart Baseball Thursday. Eno Saritz with his Smart World Series preview brought to you by 7 Mile Casino. It is coming up next. Do not go away. Woods and San Diego Ben with you on San Diego's number one sports station, San Diego's own, 97.3 The Fan.
San Diego.
I've taken a lot of grief from Padres fans for my, you know, genuine belief that I think the Dodgers are probably going to win this World Series. But I'm trying to base my opinions on what I think is, you know, smart Smart Baseball. So I'm curious to know what Eno Saris's opinion is of the matchup in the upcoming World Series that begins tomorrow night. Do Smart Baseball analytics say it should be a favored to the Dodgers, or do they lean more toward the Yankees? We will talk to Eno about that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, sorry to spring you, this on you, Eno. We'll be doing a Smart Baseball World Series preview, but my guess is you are aware of the matchup and some things about the two teams involved in the upcoming best of seven series.
Who's playing who?
Yeah, I mean, can you believe it?
He can Google it quickly. We're fine, yeah.
These two teams squaring off, man. Heavyweight match of epic proportions, you know, and yeah, people have their feelings about both teams. A lot of the country has their feeling like, I hate them both. I hope both teams lose. Well, we know that's not going to happen. Both teams cannot lose. I, for one, I'm ecstatic for this matchup. I think, you know, if it's not us in it, obviously it's not. You know, this was kind of what, this is going to put a lot of asses in the seats, so to speak, you know, with these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Stark had a piece on The Athletic today about, you know, could this be baseball's Bird and Magic? And one thing that we know from research is that, like, dynasties and super teams actually are good for ratings and good for sports. It's a little bit annoying to fans who are already there.
Right.
But if you think about, you know, your uncle that talks to you about baseball, you know, twice a year and only watches, you know, select playoffs or, you know, just sort of people who are on the periphery of baseball, they're going to be drawn in by Shohei versus Judge, MVP versus MVP, 50 homer guy versus 50 homer guy. You got Soto, you got Betts, you know, there's the star power is there. and so I think this is good for baseball. And I think, you know, in terms of finances too, people say, oh, you know, this is the best World Series money can buy. Well, you know, if you look at the history of at least the most recent history of who goes to the World Series, yes, most of the time they're in the top 50th, the top 50 percentile in terms of payroll. But this is, you know, an outlier in terms of these are like two of the three biggest payrolls in baseball. You know, we just last year had one where they were more like 60th and 70th percentile in terms of payroll. So, and the flip side of that is, wouldn't you want your owner to feel like they should spend money to get to the World Series?
Yes. Yes. Unequivocally, always yes.
Yeah. I mean, so if you're going to have randomness in baseball in terms of outcomes, which I think we all do want sometimes, that also is going to include the expensive teams occasionally getting to the World Series and winning as well.
Exactly. You know, I think a lot of the complaints would be, would land harder if this was like the third year in a row we'd seen Yankees Dodgers.
Exactly.
And even then, that's not bad for the sport. You know, I think they pointed out that LeBron and Steph faced each other 4 years in a row. And I think that was good for basketball. You know, that was Titans against Titans. Now, it doesn't happen as much in baseball because of the surrounding cast. And I think that's where you start to, because you can put, I think, Ohtani and Betts up against Judge and Soto. And maybe you say, you know, in terms of dynamic duos, I take Soto and Judge. They had one of the 10 best, you know, I think maybe even one of the 5 best pairings ever between two players. They are, you know, close to Ruth and Gehrig incarnate, you know. So you take those two over those two. I think you start taking the rest of the Dodgers lineup over the rest of the Yankees lineup. You're talking about, you know, guys like Max Muncy, Will Smith, as opposed to like rookie Austin Wells, Volpe, you know, those guys. So Dodgers have a little bit more depth in the lineup. And, you know, Dodgers bullpen, you're going to take over the Yankees bullpen, again, for depth reasons, but also pretty good at the top with Kopech and Phillips. So the Yankees' advantage in the starting rotation, I think, is the trickiest thing to figure out because the Dodgers got 60% of their outs from the bullpen in the last in the playoffs so far.
Wow.
And that's amazing. And what's even more amazing is we found out recently that the third time you see a reliever in a series, it's a little bit like the third time you see a starter in a game. So basically there's a familiarity tax. So you can't just use Luke Weaver, you know, against Shohei Ohtani, you know, six times.
Right.
Like there's like that Shohei Ohtani will start beating him pretty quickly after the third time. So basically the number I have is the third time through 800 OPS the batter has the third wow. time he sees a reliever.
Even against like, I don't get into the as deep as you do, obviously, but I'm thinking about I've watched every game and I'm thinking about any Dodger reliever that's had issue with anyone, really. Evan Phillips got into a little bit of trouble, but that's after really navigating, I think, 14 scoreless innings. Don't remember anybody doing much off Blake Treinen, save maybe one game. I feel like their relievers have been pretty dominant. I don't know how many times the Mets saw Treinen. I don't know how many times.
Well, guess what? The Mets saw no endgame reliever three times. The only matchup that happened three times was Pete Alonso against Ryan Brazier.
Wow.
That was the only one.
And
I think they were probably treading on thin ice, but at some point, you can make a plan. I'm sure the Dodgers made a plan where you're like, oh, we used Kopech this time, and then we flipped Kopech and Phillips, and
yeah.
we used Phillips this time, right? So they did it perfectly. They did a really good job. And yet in the last game, the relievers, if you remember, it wasn't a close game, but the relievers gave up one run each. And like,
yeah.
you know, there was a little bit more. That was like the second time. So, you know,
okay.
they only did it once. I think that's going to be difficult in a Yankees series because the way I see it is, you know, the Yankees have an advantage if they can, like Carlos Rodon can maybe see Ohtani three times because he's a lefty,
yep.
right? So if Carlos Rodon can see Ohtani three times, then maybe you can get Rodon through five innings. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but in today's playoffs, that's a lot. And once you start doing that, you're like, oh, okay, Rodon is going to take some of those extra outs that I have to get Ohtani out. And Cole, maybe I can see Cole, you know, taking Ohtani out a third time. And that depth is going to allow the Yankees to hide relievers better than the Dodgers. So the longer the series goes and the more that the Yankees starting pitchers can go into the thing, the more likely it is that Evan Phillips sees Aaron Judge a third time. And I swear to you, if Evan Phillips sees Aaron Judge a third time,
toast.
Aaron Judge slugged 700 on sweepers this year.
Oh, man.
So I think the longer this goes, the more it favors the Yankees. And people are calling it, you know, so close of a toss-up. I can't imagine it's going to be a sweep. We have seen sweeps between the two best teams. I was a big Braves fan growing up. And the Braves and Yankees in 1999 were they're both the best teams. And the Yankees just four straight games, boom.
I was, at the last one in New York. And the only World Series clincher I've ever gotten to go to, I was at that game. And you get tickets for that game. You're like, well, there's no way you're going to sweep a team as good as the Braves. This is a guaranteed L. Guaranteed L.
Uh-huh.
Flying to New York from Texas going, this is a guaranteed law. There's no way you're sweeping a team as good as that. And they did. And I was in the house and it was insane. So yeah, that's a good point you make. And I don't know, man, like watching this playoffs, it messes with your mind. It messes with, if you're a GM watching these playoffs, it messes with how you plan and plot to build your team with the aspirations of winning a World Series, does it not? I mean, the starters that you pay so much money for, you're like, hell yeah, man, he gave us three innings. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's freaking
totally.
Nuts how it works. Like, woo, everybody give him a pat on the back, went three innings, and we're good to go. We paid him $30 million. I mean, it is truly insane.
Yeah, my head is also swimming with all these different effects. Like, we know that over the course of the season, every pitch your reliever throws makes him worse. You know, so, you know, you're like, oh, well, don't throw your relievers a lot during the regular season so that you can throw them in the postseason.
Right.
And we know that there's this familiarity tax. So it's like, should every team have like a Francisco Rodriguez in the minor leagues that they don't call up until like September 25th? you know, so that they're like, oh, and by the way, we have this guy.
Ratting this guy.
Never seen and throws 98. You know?
Padres were waiting to deploy Sean Reynolds in the NLCS had they gotten there.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, would have been a blast, man. You say, I mean, we laugh, but like it's absolutely what probably would have, would have happened.
Definitely, maybe.
They would have needed more pitchers, yeah.
You know, Sarah's from The Athletic is with us. I want to ask you about the Dodgers starters, because to me, that was clearly the reason going into the playoffs why a lot of us didn't think they were going to get there. And against the Padres did pretty well against Yamamoto the first time, Flaherty, Buehler. And then Yamamoto locked in that game five, and other than game, they all seem to be pitching as well as they have maybe all season. What are you seeing from the Dodgers, you know, essentially three starters that they have been using here in the postseason?
Well, one thing that was really strange was in the Mets series, they Buehler and Yamamoto had every pitcher that pitched in the last two games of the Mets series had like really good movement. And, you know, part of that is cold. Cold is actually good for movement. Warm weather is lighter. And so you want heavier, wet air for the ball. It drags in it more, right? And it moves more. It reduces the velo a little bit, but they're all throwing harder because it's the postseason. So anyway, in these games, they had the best movement. I was like, oh my God, is Buehler back? Because, you know, he looked really crisp. The problem is that are they going to have the same? There was a headwind too, and headwinds actually, if the wind is blowing out, it's weird. It helps the hitters, but it also helps the pitchers because the ball moves more. And so, are they going to have those same conditions? I don't trust Walker Buehler. You know, like we've seen, you know, Walker Buehler pitch a lot down the stretch, and he bounced that curveball, you know, over and over again, and it was like, bounce the curveball, rely too much on the cutter, got nothing else really, you know? And I think that version of Walker Buehler could show up. And Jack Flaherty, who is so much better when he throws over 94, was throwing 94 for most of the season. He's throwing 92 now in the playoffs.
Yep.
And so if there is a sweep, I actually think it's the Yankees sweeping because Yamamoto – you know, they play Yamamoto tight, and then maybe it's a close game where it's like a 3-2 game. I mean, remember, Yamamoto's going to go up against Cole, so it's like it could be a 3-2 game, well-pitched game. And then they kind of feast on the next two guys, and then, you know, and if they feast on Flaherty and Buehler, that means the bullpen has to come out, you know, a lot. That means in game four, they might be seeing those relievers again. And have seen them already.
Wait, so do you think
there's a sweep? I see on the Yankee side, and I think I've seen some math that says that it's the Dodgers by a little bit. But for some reason, I favor the Yankees.
Do you think because it's going to be Cole against Flaherty in Game One? Do you think that's a mistake?
Oh, right.
Do you think that's a mistake on Dave Roberts' part? Would you,
if you believe Dave Roberts at all?
If you believe
point,
it, right?
But inveterate liars this postseason for the most part.
Would you go Yamamoto Game One and go up against Garrett Cole? Yeah. Yeah, I kind of had the same thought, but every button that dude's pushed, and to his credit, he's made a lot of mistakes.
It's worked. You're throwing Flaherty, a fastball slider guy, at 92, you know, like against Judge and Stanton and Soto. Like, I don't know. That I would give the Yankees a huge edge in Game One.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to watch it, Eno. Thank you for your insight. Always appreciate
it. I hope it steps to the, you know,
Me too.
Don't want to sweep. I hope it steps
I'll take a Yankee sweep. I'll take a Yankee sweep in a heartbeat. Games. No problem. But I'll sign up for that today.
A seven-game series would be epic.
Series would be epic. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I mean, I want some highlights from Judge and Ohtani in particular. I want them to be at the front of SportsCenter.
You want Yankees, you know, Guardians, want basically. That's what we want. Nobody wants Dodgers Mets for this series. Yeah, you want Yankees Guardians.
You don't want World Series highlights to come right after Buccaneers Panthers highlights, you know, on SportsCenter.
Yeah. Exactly, man.
And yeah,
exactly.
And you don't want the like trading blowouts. Nobody wants that.
You know, appreciate it. Next Thursday could be all over, or we could be heading towards an epic showdown. So one way or the other, we'll wrap it up with you next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you,
Eno Saris, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, Smart Baseball every week. And Smart Baseball says, he said the math a little bit toward the Dodgers, but if any team's going to dominate, he thinks it would be the Yankees.
But also, and if it goes longer.
He had more questions about the Dodgers pitching staff. You know, he's not high on Flaherty. We both agree that kind of that game one is now a must-win for the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
At Dodger
With
Stadium.
With Garrett Cole on the bump,
Garrett
of course.
Cole against Flaherty.
Of course.
You feel like you drop that one and you're the Yankees, you are now really in trouble. Dodgers will have a lot of emotion. You know, they're going to honor Fernando Valenzuela. It's going to be back, you know, World Series back in L.A. Because remember, the last time they were in the World Series, it was in Arlington, Texas.
Yep.
No, you know, no, almost no fans. This will be a different deal for them. So we'll see. That's tomorrow, 5 o'clock.
Woo! World Series time
Game
is
one
here.
Of the World Series.
Can't wait.
All right, Paulie is going to have a Rindle report for us when we come back.
I've got a hell of a story for my third one. I've also got maybe, I'll call it a top three sports radio call of all time.
Beautiful.
Coming up next on 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.